time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
I met Dan at a conference. He strode into that room with all the confidence anybody could muster. He clearly was somebody who was comfortable in the outdoors. Now, we were out in Colorado, so it was no surprise that I would run into some people from comfort in the outside. He had on that heavy North Face jacket, and his face had that windblown, chapped cheeks, and his hair was bleached blonde by the sky, and on top of his head was a nice pair of glasses that were clearly used not just for fashion. And his pants were that heavy canvas type material that you just knew was going to get him through the outback. And then he had on those hiking shoes that clearly were not new. They had been worn through mile after mile somewhere out in the woods. So Dan and I were talking, and I asked Dan what he was up to, what he did, and he told me that his big thing was going up on doing downhill alpine skiing, really kind of extreme skiing. He was one of those guys that was photographed all the time, that I'd probably seen his photos in some like Outside magazine and maybe even Men's Journal, where he was coming out of the chute and was really barreling down the mountain. I said, you know, I cannot imagine doing that. That would scare me. I would stand at the top of that hill and just be frozen in place. And he said, oh, you know what? I kind of feel that, but then I just go do it anyway. I said, oh, that's amazing. Well, Dan asked me what I did, and I told him about what I did. I told him about the podcast and the writing that I do. And his response was, oh, I could never do that. You do a podcast that goes out over the whole internet? I said, yeah, it's available anywhere in the world. He said, there's no way I would do that. That would scare me to death. And I said, you know, it scares me too, but then you go ahead and do it. And it struck me that we both were describing the same little twitch that we all humans have, that self-doubt. This is Lee Bockham, and today on the Thriveology Podcast, I want to talk about some ways of dealing with that self-doubt, because we all have it. It's just something that's built into our nature. Dan has it, I have it, you have it, we all have it. The question is not, how are we going to escape self-doubt, but how are we going to deal with self-doubt? How do we make sure that self-doubt doesn't keep us crippled? A few years back, I was talking with a client who had come in for some coaching, and this client had built several very successful businesses. In fact, they were businesses that would, if he did nothing else, keep him in a very comfortable lifestyle for the rest of his life. But he wanted to build out. He had this fear that he was going to lose everything, but he had another fear. He had a fear that he was going to fail in his business attempts. And so he kept doubting every time he would step forward until he kept giving up opportunity after opportunity. I asked him what was stopping him. Here he had already built, at that point, four successful businesses. And he told me about one business venture that had failed. And it had failed miserably. It had been a painful event. He lost some money on it. But he still had a huge bank account, and he still had plenty of money coming in. But what he told me was that failure kept him stuck. The other opportunities were coming his way, but he could not act. He was frozen in place. And that's the nature of self-doubt. It cripples us. It keeps us from moving forward. It keeps you from taking action. Do you know people, or maybe even yourself, who spend lots of time gathering information? They gather. They've got all their facts. They've got all the information. They've got all the statistics. And then they never take action. The self-doubt keeps them from stepping out into that. Or do you know people, perhaps even you, that decide to take the easy path because that's a lot easier and a lot less scary than trying something? I watch kids going to college, and sometimes they go with what they know they're going to get into instead of challenging themselves to find a place that's going to force them to grow. And sometimes we settle, whether it's in a job or whether it's in a college career or whether it's somewhere else in life. We decide to settle and take the easy path because then we don't have to worry about the self-doubts. Or do you know people who are constantly looking for someone to blame? They might blame themselves, but usually they're blaming someone else for why they can't get ahead, that something else is keeping them from doing it, whether the society is unfair, culture is unfair, their family left them in a bad place, they learned bad things from friends or family or colleagues or wherever else. But somewhere there's a reason why they can't take action. When in reality, what's really keeping them from moving forward is the self-doubt. Not ready to take a risk because something might fall apart. Do you know people who, or even yourself, that avoid risk, knowing that the risk is the only way to move somewhere else, and yet they stay stuck, caught by the fear of something? What is it that causes that? Well, self-doubt has a very real biological reason. Because in very primitive times, self-doubt would have kept us safe. If we don't take a risk and go out in the jungle in the middle of the night, we probably are not going to get eaten up. If we don't take a risk and go after that big, big creature, but we go after the small ones instead, we probably had less chance of getting hurt. Or if we stayed close by our family and close by our neighbors, we were safe, but we never got beyond it. And so in primitive times, our brains were built and our brains began to learn how to keep us safe. And one of the central themes of our brain is if you never take a risk, you are safe. Now, that's not really true, but that's what our brain tells us because it comes from such primitive times. And so we still live with those voices calling us to not take a risk, to not step outside of our comfort zone, to not leave our family and friends, to not move too far away, to not try anything new, but to stay safe. And so whenever we push a little bit towards the edge, it would be natural that the self-doubt would rise up as a way of keeping us from going forward, of kind of whispering at us, are you sure that you want to try this? Because you might fail, and then it adds another piece. And that failure might be horrible. A number of years ago, I realized that I had to increase the income streams in our family because I was a therapist. And therapists are hourly employees no matter how we cut it. We're only going to get paid for so many hours in a week. And I knew I had to find a different way, a different model. And so I found a business opportunity and looked like one that I could handle. And so I jumped in. Well, in the midst of that business model, it fell apart. It was a massive failure, and it left me for a long time feeling like I didn't want to take a risk, that I didn't want to venture out again because I got stung pretty bad, and it cost us financially, and it cost me in time and energy. And the self-doubt began to creep in. Maybe I just can't do anything further. But I realized that all it was doing was keeping me stuck where I was. It was whispering in my ear, stay safe, don't take a risk. Because if you never take a risk, you can't get hurt. But there was another lesson. And the lesson was a big one. That what felt like a huge loss didn't end my life, didn't end us financially. It wasn't career ending. It was simply a big bump in the road and one that I learned from. And that's the interesting thing about that moment is I realized that while that had not been successful, it had given me a crash course in business, and it had given me a crash course in understanding what I needed to do and what I needed to not be doing. And it created a whole new path for me, all because I took a risk and failed. It wasn't because I took a risk and succeeded, but in the failure, I realized that it wasn't going to hurt me long term. It was going to hurt short term, and that began to be one of the pieces I used in my estimation of when should I try something? What was the risk level? And that began to be an interesting dialogue because so often we're afraid of taking a risk because of the fear that something bad, really bad, is going to happen. Last night I got an email from a woman who said that she was afraid to buy my book because she didn't know if she could save the relationship. And my response to that is, it's interesting you would be fearful of buying a book that might help you, because if you do nothing, given where things are, your marriage will end. That's a guarantee. Your marriage will end. There's no way around that. If you try something, there's a chance it would work. So the fear of not buying the book is an interesting response rather than the fear of losing something. Interesting how those self-doubts catch us and keep us, hold us hostage. So what do you do? Because if you never take a risk, you also miss opportunity after opportunity. Wayne Gretzky reminds us that we miss all the shots we don't take. That all of those opportunities where we're afraid to take that try, we're afraid to take the shot, we're afraid to step out into our discomfort zone, are all missed opportunities that mean we're definitely going to miss them. So what do we do? The first one, I think, is you want to outline your reason why you're doing what you do and use that as a touchstone. What I mean by that is when I am busy in my business of helping people to thrive, that's my reason for doing it. And so when I get a little fearful of making a video or a podcast or writing an article or working on the book, I have to remind myself of the reason why I'm doing it, not what I'm doing, because the what you're doing can often feel risky. But the why you're doing it will always pull you forward. Human beings are built with a deep need to have meaning and purpose. And that meaning and purpose will carry us through many difficult things, as long as we use that as a touchstone. So outline your reason why you're doing something. Use that as the yardstick so that when you get to be in a point of doubt, of concern, that you go back and you look at why you're doing it, not what you're doing, but why you're doing it. Because whenever you're tied into that why you're doing something, the what is only the way to get there. If you get focused on what you're doing, the fears of what might come out of that are what cripple you because you're not in touch any longer with your why. So outline your reason why. Keep that as a list of reasons that you can look back at. You can use as a touchstone, a reminder of why you're doing what you're doing. And then what you're doing becomes easier. That's not going to go away. Self-doubt is not something we can remove. There's no surgical way of getting rid of it. There's no psychological way of getting rid of it. But we can learn to keep moving forward in spite of that. So then number two is to commit and act. When I started this podcast now a year ago, I committed on a weekly basis that even when I didn't feel great, even when I wasn't convinced that I had the best material, that I was going to keep sharing, that maybe somewhere someone would find some piece that fit for them because I kept putting it out. That was my commitment, which means that every week I get up and act. And in that process, it doesn't really matter if I'm feeling the self-doubt or the fears, because I've committed to that action. And part of what I'm suggesting in this is that the commitment will often carry us through the self-doubt. That it's not going to get rid of it. It's not going to erase it. We're not going to suddenly walk away and feel all confident and great. But it lets us keep moving forward. So find your commitment and continue to act on it. And the third one is so important. It's to have self-compassion. Practice self-compassion. Self-compassion is the place where you look at yourself with the same compassion that you might offer to somebody else. Notice where that self-doubt and fears keep you stuck. Because if you'll notice, that's the place where you need to give yourself a little room. You need to give yourself a little space. Not that that gives you permission to not do something, but it's okay to feel those fears and doubts and concerns. That's a natural part of human behavior. So to be able to look at yourself and say, wow, here I am experiencing self-doubt. Well, no surprise, because I'm human. That's just the way we humans are. The second part of practicing self-compassion is to remember that we humans are not built for perfection. Just look at the human body. Look at all the places where we are imperfect. My feeling is part of the reason for that imperfection is to remind us that we're imperfect, to not be fooled that we have to do things perfectly, that we don't even have to fall in that trap, that if our bodily systems are not built perfectly, why should we expect that we operate at a perfect level? There is no such thing. And if we were operating at a perfect level, there would be no opportunities for growth. And as you know, for me, our whole thing about life is continuing to grow and expand ourselves. and learn different ways of impacting the world and bringing deeper meaning and purpose into our lives. So that imperfection actually gives you a place to try that out. And the last part is to remember that all people experience the doubt and fears. That self-compassion is the capacity of looking around and saying, everybody's feeling this. We all decide whether we're going to act or not, but what's common is that we all feel that fear and that self-doubt. There I was at this conference talking to an experienced downhill skier who would ski off of a cliff just for a photo. And what he told me was what really turned it for me. He told me when he skied, it wasn't that he had no fear, that in some ways his response to the fear was to ski, to kind of prove it to himself that he could get beyond that fear. And so while sometimes we think about those people who are willing to take a risk, we think they have no fear, when in reality they have fear. They've just chosen to act. Let me invite you this week to outline your reasons why you're doing something. Then commit and act. And then remind yourself to be compassionate toward yourself when you feel that fear and feel that doubt, that just makes you human. That makes you normal. And what makes you extraordinary is when you act in spite of that fear. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving week.
Listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.